You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
This is our Remembrance Sunday all-age service. I don't think it's difficult to remember things. Everybody here will remember their birthday, I hope. One or two of us older ones may be beginning to forget, but if you're younger, you'll certainly remember when your birthday is or when your last birthday was. And today we remember those who gave their lives, men and women, in fighting for their country, for freedom. Which street in Buxton is this? Thank you, Mandy. It's Bennett Street. How many men do you think died from Bennett Street in World War One? There are 86 houses. I know this because I delivered to those in our Trinity Open Day. I assume that there were probably about 86 in 1914 to 1918, World War One. How many men do you think died? Just
25.
25. Thank you, Elizabeth. 86 houses, 25. Anybody want to go higher than 25? Thank you, Glenda. Some people here may know what I'm going to say. There is a roll of honour at the end of Bennett Street, at the Dale End Road end of Bennett Street. And every time I go past it, I stop and look at it every time I've done it over the last 20 years, because I find this quite extraordinary. Because on that roll of honour, 93 men died from 86 houses. I think there were 13 or 14 in World War II. And there is one family, it may not be one family, the Eyres, because it's a Derbyshire name, there may have been two families, but that lost. There were six Eyres listed on that roll of honour. Extraordinary. 93 men, I think they were all men, from one street in World War One. Who is this? Anybody tell?
Queen Victoria.
Well done, thank you. Queen Victoria, who reigned for a long time. Our present queen has just overtaken her. And she said in 1901, as she was dying, "Oh, that peace may come. Oh, that peace may come." But the 20th century was the most bloody and violent in human history. It was a shattering century for the idea that we are getting better as a human race. It was the most bloody and violent, even though there was more what I call social engineering than in any century, and more rapid advances, extraordinary technological advances. How many lives were lost in World War One? 5 million? 10 million, 15 million, this is soldiers and civilians. In fact, 16 million lives were lost. And that was described as the war to end all wars. But what became even more extraordinary was that only 20 years after that, nobody knows, 60 to 85 million lives lost. Soldiers, service personnel, civilians. Even the fact that they don't know, that is the number that varies as you look and research. And here's the teaching of God's Son. God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, said that there will always be wars. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, until the end comes. He was absolutely clear about that, just as he was absolutely clear that the problem of the world and every single one of us is sinful hearts. Nations are just made up of sinful people. And Mark 7, Jesus says these words. And these are the words that everybody in our nation needs to hear, aren't they? "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance and folly or foolishness. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. It's easy to say that another nation is evil, but the problem is evil people. We can do good, but we're evil, unclean sinners. Jesus had no problem saying, you can do good, but actually your hearts are evil. We have dignity, but we're depraved, unclean sinners. We have dignity because we're made in the image of God, but that's marred and corrupted. We're depraved. In other words, every single part of us is corrupted by sin, the sin of our hearts. And we can act with selfless sacrifice, but we're selfish, unclean sinners. Extraordinary self-sacrifice in war. Extraordinary deeds that we've read about recently. But we're all selfish, unclean sinners.
The reading is from Isaiah 2, verses 1 to 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the law from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Well, there was some great poetry written amidst the suffering of World War I. This is Attack by Siegfried Sassoon, written in 1918. The barrage roars and lifts, then clumsily bowed with bombs and guns and shovels and battle gear. Men jostle and climb to meet the bristling fire. Lines of grey, muttering faces masked with fear. They leave their trenches, going over the top. While time ticks blank and busy on their wrists, and hope with furtive eyes and grappling fists flounders in mud. Oh Jesus, make it stop. Oh Jesus, make it stop. Can God, can Jesus forgive us? Can Jesus change us? Can Jesus stop it? Let's look at our reading from Isaiah. Just have it in front of you. It's from a time when God's city, Jerusalem, with a temple, was set on a hill. There is somebody's drawing of that. Jerusalem, God's city, where his Old Testament people heard from God. They met with God in this city, in the temple, where he said he would dwell and live with them. Where they were forgiven by God. They had to bring sacrifices to the temple. Where they were blessed by God. But the blessing of being God's people was to be a light for the nations. indeed God's people, God's Old Testament people, were meant to show how wonderful it was to have the one true God as their God. And the nations were meant to be attracted. But by the time of Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah is speaking about a time when God's people had been in rebellion against God for many, many years. When I say many, many years, they had been unrepentant. They'd heard God's word, but they'd carried on worshipping other gods, other idols, breaking his laws, doing as they wished. And Isaiah brought God's word that his people were under his judgment. But God, through Isaiah, promises a glorious future. As we've sung, he will not let his people go if they repent and trust him. So let's look at what it says. Firstly, the Lord will be seen to be supreme. Just look at it again, what it says. Verse 2 of this reading from Isaiah. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. There was lots of competition in those days. If you had the biggest mountain, if you worshipped on the biggest mountain, then your God was the biggest God, or if you had the biggest temple. And Jerusalem wasn't particularly impressive, in fact. But the one true God is saying here that one day, look, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills so that everybody can see. And look at this. All nations will stream to it. So wonderful pictures of just people streaming up to the upper mountain. All nations will know the Lord through hearing his word. Look at this, verse 3. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. It's an extraordinary, wonderful picture, isn't it? Of the word being heard, the nation streaming to hear that word and coming to know the Lord. And then secondly, the Lord will judge and bring peace. Look at verse 4. In these last days, he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. Do you see that? And then it says, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Because of God's judgment, because of the Lord's judgment, there will be no more weapons or training for war. Do you see quite clearly that the Lord will judge one day, and the consequence of that will be that the nations, the peoples, will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. There will be no training for war, no more weapons. Verse 4. Does anyone know where this statue, this is? Anybody want to have a guess? It is outside the United Nations. It was given by the USSR to the United States of America. And it is based on these verses. Here is a man beating a sword into a plowshare. It's interesting that it's in the shape of a cross. The United Nations, this is right outside the United Nations, will not bring an end to war. The Lord will when he judges. Can I say it's not that the United Nations isn't important and it does good, just as we do good. But of course it is shot through with sin as well. It's striking, isn't it, that some of the worst sexual abuses have come through people working for the United Nations. Go and read what happened in Rwanda between the Hutus and the Tutsis. There were enough United Nations soldiers in that country to stop that massacre. But they didn't, because, of course, the United Nations is flawed. But when the Lord judges at the end of time, that will be perfect justice and perfect peace. Just before those verses that we read, Isaiah says this: Zion, that is God's city, will be redeemed. It will be freed with justice. But those who forsake the Lord will perish. If you forsake the one true God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will perish. You will have what you want, which is your own life, but you will perish in judgment. But look what a great promise there is for those who turn to the Lord. God's city will be redeemed, freed with justice. It's a wonderful promise, that. How can God redeem, free sinners and reconnect them to him? I need two volunteers. I think I've got the time just to do this. I need two volunteers. Anybody want to volunteer just to help me? Anyone come and help me? It involves crawling on the ground. I should say that. Who wants to crawl on the ground? Come on. Toff, all right? You're there. Okay. Come on. I want you to grab this. Okay, grab that. Okay, you've got to get ready to crawl on the ground, all right? Who's? Yeah. Okay, good. You're over here. I want you to be ready to crawl on the ground, okay? Come down here. Right. Okay, now you've each got a cable, a wire. You've got to crawl to each other and reconnect the wire, okay? So on all fours, all right? And we could imagine, just hold on, we could imagine that this was a battlefield. We could imagine that, all right? But I don't want to frighten anybody, okay? On all fours, okay? Let's go. And you see, come on. Oh, that's brilliant, crawling, all right? You've got there. Wait. Because that is proper. That's gorilla. Wait, okay? Can you reconnect? Good. Thank you. All right? Okay, you can go and sit down, guys. Well done. Brilliant. Well done. All right. Joel, could you come and hold this? That'd be great. If you could come and just hold that together. Just hold that wire together. All right? Hold it. That's right, hold it together so that it's connected, so that it's through. I took ages to find this picture. I know I've shown this once before. I knew that it existed. It is a picture of a Royal Signal Corps soldier, signalman, on World War I. And in his right hand, he holds two wires. He has gone out on the battlefield to reconnect. It's called through two sides so that people can talk to each other. And in doing that, he has been killed. I think it hangs in the mess of the Royal Signal Corps in Catterick. Took me ages to find that picture. Through, reconnected. How can God redeem free sinners and reconnect them to him? The sacrifice of Jesus. We remember great sacrifice on this day. But the sacrifice of Jesus frees from the punishment for sin. That is what each one of us deserves for sinful hearts. But the Lord Jesus bears that punishment in our stead. He frees us from the power of sin. It's a glorious truth. Not just freed from the punishment of sin, we're redeemed, we're freed from the power of sin. We can live as Jesus wants, with his help, by his Spirit. And we're freed from the presence of sin one day. Sassoon cried out in his poem, O Jesus, Make It Stop. Maybe we cry out in different ways for suffering that we experience. O Jesus, make it stop. One day it will stop when the Lord Jesus judges. There'll be no more sin or suffering or death or tears, for he will be making all things new in the new creation. Glorious, a glorious truth. And the last verse in Isaiah is, Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Can I encourage you to think about what that means for you this week, if you're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're not, can I encourage you to do that? How wise it is to trust the Lord Jesus in the light of that. If we're trusting Jesus, come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. What will that look like? Can you think about that in families today? And can I also encourage us to pray for our nation? How far away we are from the one true God. How wonderful it would be if more people could walk in the light of the Lord. It is entirely right and appropriate that we should remember those who gave their lives for our freedom. Nearly every Remembrance Sunday will have a prayer, many prayers, hymns, sung to the one true God. But tragically, so many people will forget him tomorrow. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord.